I don't know if it's on. Is this on?
Test, test.
Tunkashila, Wakantaka, Namakawan, Betula, Enio, Wazio, Pakitilo, Kokuchi, Elo, Antaya, Amablazio, Yo, Miwaka Pataha, Wayang, Namajio, Takataku, Wolakani, Waniri, Pakitilo, Kokuchi, Elo, Antaya, Amablazio, Miwaka Pataha, Wayang, Namajio. Echecha kito kata oina jiwa uta ni piktanue. Oyasi, welcome.
złotych jest. We cannot sit.
I need to give the to make an announcement. Who's on his way? Conference offices. Could you ask conference offices come to me? Yeah. Я тоже ничего не знаю, я понятно. Скажи им, чтобы они мне дали слово для объявления для быстрого. I apologize, we should have taken a little bit longer with the drum. Yeah, you will be able to stand.
Right here or?
Right here. No, right here, yeah. We're not going to do any podiums. I'm on? Hello? Yes. Thank you. Dear delegates, I just wanted to make a short announcement. We had a wonderful opening ceremony, and we are going now. We're waiting for our chairman to arrive, and now we can start. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished members of the forum, Your Excellency, Secretary General, distinguished delegates, observers, and friends, ladies and gentlemen, with great pleasure and honor, I now declare open the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. It is a special pleasure to extend a warm welcome to all of you on behalf of the Department of Economic and Social Affairs of the United Nations. According to the tradition of the indigenous people, an indigenous elder addresses the opening meeting and offers words of blessings to the session. I now invite Tododaho Sithil of the Onondaga Nation to deliver his message.
Listen very carefully. The Creator has intended us to start off with this thanksgiving. It become my duty to speak out. It doesn't how many people, the number of people that are here, small or large. We come of one mind, and we greet each other, and we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one with a greeting to each other. And at this time we give thanks to our mother, the earth. She's taking care of us as we walk about here. It's her duty to provide what the Creator has put here. We put our minds together as one kindly and respectfully and give a great thanksgiving to our Mother Earth and also what she has provided for us. She takes care of what the Creator has planted here on Earth, the medicines. And there is a leader of the medicines. Here on Earth it takes care of us. The leader of the medicines is the Ridwip. And we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one, and we give thanks to the medicines that were provided for us here on Earth. And also what the Creator has put down here for us is in the woods and the trees, and also there's a leader of the trees. And then when the weather becomes warm, there's a medicine, the sap that comes from the tree, which is a medicine that when we drink it, is to help us be at peace. And that we're thankful to see this come again. And we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one, and we give thanks to the woods and the forest. And also it was planted here for us. It was the berries. And also the berries are a medicine. And there's a leader of the berries also. And the leader is the strawberries. And we're thankful again to see them. And it becomes a medicine for us. So at this time we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one. And we give a great thanksgiving for the berries. That it be that way in our minds. And also the animals that were put here, that run about in the forest and here on Mother Earth. And they become a substance for us and provide food for our peoples as we walk about and survive on this land. At this time, we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and give a thanksgiving that we still see the animals running about. And also at this time, we direct our attentions to the animals that have wings and they fly above our heads. And when we hear their songs, it makes us feel peaceful and content. It's a wonderful It's wonderful to hear their voices. It makes us feel good. They have a leader, and the leader is the eagle. He flies high into the clouds, higher than the clouds, to watch over Mother Earth here. We walk about. And at this time, we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and give thanks that we still see what the Creator had put here for us. And at this time, also, we give thanks, a great thanks for the waters, the fresh waters that travel through Mother Earth and provide for us, the large lakes, the streams, the ponds, the great water. They replenish the earth and provide for all that was planted here for us to survive and be at peace and contentment. And at this time now, we put our minds kindly and respectfully together as one and give thanks to the waters. Let it be that way in our mind. And now at this time, we put our minds together in a greetings and a thankfulness for that the food source that take care of us. We still see it. We're still able to take from what was planted to provide for us peacefulness and health. And at this time, for all the foods, we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and give thanks, and we'll let it be that way in our minds. And also, we direct our minds to the winds that travel about, and the winds that bring fresh air to our bodies so that we can be at peace and contentment as we live healthy. And we also know that sometimes the winds become strong and they strengthen us. They strengthen our roots to Mother Earth. We put our minds together as one. Kindly and respectfully, we acknowledge the winds and we give thanks. Let it be that way in our mind. And also now we direct our minds and our thoughts toward the thunders, the thunder beings. As they carry on their duties and their voices, the thundering voices, as they dance across the sky, they bring water and help to bring water to replenish Mother Earth and all that was planted here for us to survive and walk in contentment and peace. And we're thankful that they carry on their duties to bring water to this earth that we walk on, and we call it our mother the earth. Our grandfathers, the thunders, now we give thanks that they still carry on their duties, and we'll have it that way in our mind of a great thanksgiving. And now we direct our thoughts and our minds to our elder brother, the sun, that he still carries on his duty and to help with all that was planted here, with warming the earth so that the plants can survive. And we give a great thanks in the kindest and most respectful way to our elder brother, the sun, that he carries on the duties. And we put it in our minds as one, all of us here, to give thanks. And let it be that way in our mind. And also we direct our minds and our thoughts to our grandmother, the moon, that she carries on her duties also, and she helps control and maintain the water and the currents of the world and the water world. And at this time we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one, and we give thanks to our grandmother, the moon. And so we'll let it be that way in our minds. And now at this time we direct our thoughts and our minds to the sky world of the messengers. The Creator had appointed to help keep our minds straight. As we walk about here on Earth, our minds may turn a different way, and they guide us back to what the natural law of life on Mother Earth is to be. So they watch over our minds and keep us straight thinking so that we can be at peace and contentment as we walk about. And with great respect, we kindly put our minds together as one and give thanks to the four messengers. Let it be that way in our mind. And so now, what the Creator has put here, He left a message for us to walk in peace amongst each other, to work with each other as we survive here on Mother Earth. This message came from the Creator, and we give thanks that we still hear it go on, and so that we can be at peace and live in harmony with all peoples. And so we put our minds together as one, and we give a great thanks to Skanyatayo. Let it be that way in our minds. And so now at this time we direct our thoughts and our minds to the Creator for what He has put here for all of us to survive. And by the daytime and through the night times as we travel about and live on this earth, He has set down love, that we love each other, we work with each other in that way. We kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one, and we give a great thanksgiving to the Creator that the things He put here are still going on. And that's as far as the words will go for this day. And so now we'll begin what we came here for today. That is all.
I thank Tododaho Sidhil for the ceremonial welcome to the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers and friends, ladies and gentlemen, as acting chair of this session, I'm particularly happy on behalf of members of the forum to extend a warm welcome to His Excellency, the Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon of the United Nations. Secretary General, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished elders, distinguished representatives of indigenous peoples' organizations, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great pleasure to welcome you to the 9th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Many of you have traveled long distances to be here today, and I thank you very much. Indigenous peoples often live in the most isolated places on Earth, from the Arctic to the African savanna. But the United Nations is working to make sure that indigenous people themselves are not isolated. You have a unique place in the global community. You are full and equal members of the United Nations family. And we will continue to support and protect your human rights and fundamental freedoms and your right to pursue social and economic development. I attach great importance to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, which was adopted in September 2007. In that landmark document, UN member states and indigenous peoples sought to reconcile with their painful histories and resolve to move forward together towards human rights, justice, and development for all. I congratulate you once again on this achievement. Ladies and gentlemen, we have made significant progress on indigenous peoples' issues at the United Nations over the past 40 years. Apart from the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, other notable achievements include the establishment of this permanent forum, the mandate of the Special Rapporteur, and the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous Peoples. Indigenous issues are more prominent on the international agenda than ever before. And yet, we cannot even begin to be content with our progress. The first ever United Nations report on the state of the world's indigenous peoples in January set out some alarming statistics. Indigenous peoples suffer high levels of poverty, health problems, crime, and human rights abuses all over the world. You make up some 5% of the world's population, but one-third of the world's poorest. In some countries, an indigenous person is 600 times more likely to contract tuberculosis than the general population. In others, an indigenous child can expect to die 20 years earlier than his non-native compatriots. Every day, indigenous communities face issues of violence, brutality, and dispossession. Indigenous cultures, languages, and ways of life are under constant threat from climate change, armed conflict, lack of educational opportunities, and discrimination. Elsewhere, your cultures are being distorted, commodified, and used to generate profits which do not benefit indigenous people and can even lead to harm. This is not only a tragedy for indigenous peoples. It is a tragedy for the whole world. Slowly but surely, people are coming to understand that the well-being and sustainability of indigenous peoples are matters that concern us all. Diversity is strength in cultures and in languages, just as it is in ecosystems. The loss of irreplaceable cultural practices and means of artistic expression makes us all poorer wherever our roots may lie. According to current forecast, 90% of all languages could disappear within 100 years. The loss of these languages erodes an essential component of a group's identity. That is why the special theme of your forum this year, development with culture and identity, is particularly appropriate. It highlights the need to craft policy measures that promote development while respecting indigenous peoples' values and traditions. We need development that is underpinned by the values of reciprocity, solidarity, and collectivity. And we need development that allows indigenous peoples to exercise their right to self-determination through participation in decision-making on an equal basis. Ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations will continue to support you. I call on all governments, indigenous peoples, the UN system, and all other partners to ensure that the vision behind the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples becomes a reality for all. I wish you a very successful forum, and thank you very much.
I thank Secretary General for his statement.
And I would like to give
floor to who? Now.
You know, I'm hesitating because His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly, is on his way.
Shall we proceed?
No? I suggest that
I will wait.
So while waiting, His Excellency, the PGA,
for just a couple of minutes,
we will.
And in the meantime.
In the meantime, we'll go ahead.
In the meantime, you can.
We can go ahead. With election?
Yeah,
with the election?
Go ahead with election.
He's up here 5 minutes.
We shall now proceed with the first item.
So, distinguished members of the forum, distinguished delegates, while waiting for His Excellency the PGA, we shall now proceed to the first item on the agenda, the election of the chairperson for this session. I now give floor to Ms. Toya Cornella Fritschner.
Right in front of you.
Madam, you have floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and very warm greetings. It is my distinct pleasure and my distinct honor to bring forward to you our decision by the members of the Permanent Forum, our choice for chairman for the ninth session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. We made our decision in Bolivia during the month of March. Our pre-sessional meeting was hosted very generously by the government of Bolivia, and this is where we made our choice by acclamation. And as Chief Sid Hill mentioned earlier, now our minds are one and we are brought together, and the members of the Permanent Forum feel secure that our brother will continue to bring that message of keeping our minds together and our hearts together as we proceed with the ninth session of the Permanent Forum. By acclamation, Mr. Chairman, it is my honor to bring forward to you our choice for chairperson for the ninth session of the Permanent Forum, Mr. Carlos Mamami. Mr. Mamami? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank Ms. Toya Cornella Fritschner for the nomination of Mr. Carlos Mamanani Kondari as the chairman for the ninth session of Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Is he there? I would like to suspend the deliberation of the agenda first at item one for the time being for a while, and while inviting His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly. On behalf of the full members, let me extend warm welcome to His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly, Mr. Chiki. Now I have the honor to give floor to His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly.
Thank you.
You have floor, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary General, Chairperson, members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Population, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to attend the opening meeting of the Forum on Indigenous Issues. I am greatly honored to preside over this great number of the members of the indigenous peoples in the United Nations. This issue that is dealt with by this meeting, which is development in within identity and culture, relates to the rights of indigenous people. This is an essential issue on which the work is based in issues on human rights. The declaration ensures the participation of peoples in development issues completely, including consultation in formulating the development programs and policies. The indigenous peoples have suffered from injustice throughout history, including languishing under imperialism and colonialism, and divesting them of the territories and the resources, together with suppression and discrimination against them. Today, many indigenous peoples are still suffering from poverty and oppression. They are deprived of the right to development. It is high time now to consider the industrialization and modernization and the role on the culture and identities of the indigenous peoples and how they compromise their natural resources. Development should go on through cooperation among countries, taking into account the identities and the cultures of the indigenous peoples. If there is a cooperation, a universal cooperation based on good faith, it would benefit inevitably not only the indigenous peoples, but enriching the society and environment at large. It would affect it positively. In conclusion, I wish to commend the permanent forum on indigenous issues that combines both the indigenous people and the member states in the United Nations organizations on its commitment to the rights of the indigenous peoples, and I wish them all success in your ninth session. Thank you.
I thank His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly, for his statement. Now, can we suspend for a few minutes, and the Secretary General will depart. Okay, of course, yes. Dear forum members, let us resume our consideration of the first item on the agenda, the election of the chairperson for this session. Now, I have the honor to give the floor to Bartolome Clavero Salvado. So, Mr. Salvado, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I second the nomination of Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori for the incoming presidency of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues.
May I take it that it is the wish of members of the Permanent Forum to elect Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori as the chairman for the ninth session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues by acclamation. It is so decided. Now, I wish to extend my warmest congratulations to Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori on his election. I'm confident that he will guide this session of the forum to a successful conclusion. Before I invite Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori to take over the proceedings of session, I would like to thank Ms. Victoria Tully Corpus for her leading role as chairperson of the previous session of the forum. Her contribution into the work of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is highly commendable. Thank you. Before the... Now, next.
No,
I think... Yeah, of course, yes. I've already... Now, I have the honor to invite our Mr. Carlos Mamani Condori, the chair of the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, to take over the chair.
Okay. And I have to leave you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you.
You start speaking Spanish from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, yeah, you do this.
Mm-hmm. Primero or
mm-hmm. Primero. Primero. Primero.
Entonces el micrófono.
Yep. Start speaking and right from here, you read from here.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Quisiera dar las...
I would like to thank Mr. Xia Zhukang, USG for Economic and Social Affairs, for having opened this session. Before beginning, I would like to thank the members of the Permanent Forum for having elected me chair of the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Distinguished members of the forum, we shall now deal with some organizational issues for this session. I would also like to say a few words to you before we start on our work. Your Excellency Dr. Ali Abdulsalam Treki, President of the General Assembly, Secretary General, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Your Excellency Ambassador Hamidon Ali, President of the Economic and Social Council, Under Secretary General for Economic and Social Affairs, Mr. Xia Zhukang, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished observers from member states, Indigenous Peoples Organizations, the intergovernmental system, non-governmental organizations, academia and media, Indigenous sisters and brothers, Indigenous youth, and Indigenous parliamentarians.
Ta genera runtaña kitinakate kolyasuyo abiyala oksatutapje hilatanaka kulyakanakaro. Es un placer.
It's a pleasure for me to warmly welcome you here at this 9th session of the Permanent Forum. Let me first pay my respects to the Onondaga Nation and Peoples, in particular Mr. Dadodaho Sidhil, the traditional chief of the Onondaga Nation, the original inhabitants of this land, and to thank them for having us here again. I would like to express my profound thanks to my fellow members of the Permanent Forum for the trust they have placed in me by electing me as chairperson of the 9th session of this forum. I would like to say that I will do everything possible for a successful session. I would also like to take this opportunity to express my profound thanks, appreciation and admiration on behalf of all of us to our sister Victoria Tauli Corpus, who chaired the Permanent Forum with such competence, commitment and leadership for the last 5 years, and also to Elizabeth Sapotopoulou, who, thanks to her dedication, supported our work throughout its life. The special theme for this year's Permanent Forum is Indigenous Peoples, Development with Culture and Identity, Articles 3 and 32 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which provides a good opportunity for us as Indigenous peoples, governments, the UN system, and civil society to discuss what is meant by development with culture and identity, and how it is expressed in our terms as living well and using our models. It is different to current development models, and I hope we take full advantage of this opportunity over the next 2 weeks. I would like to stress my thanks to the government of my country, Bolivia, for hosting the pre-sessional meeting of the forum, which took place on the 17th and 18th of March in La Paz and Lake Titicaca, and especially to Minister David Chocahuanca, who hosted us in his community. This enabled us to make all the necessary arrangements for this session and also to evaluate the previous session. The pre-sessional meeting was attended by most of the members of the forum, whom I would also like to thank for their participation. I would like to point out that thanks to the initiative of President Evo Morales, with the support of more than 50 countries, the General Assembly designated the 22nd of April as International Mother Earth Day. We will be celebrating that this Thursday. Indigenous peoples hold the view that nature is our Mother Earth and is endowed with rights, and history has proved our commitment to the world. Indigenous peoples promote Mother Earth and her rights in national and international fora. In these days, climate change is one of the main items on the international agenda, and respect of Indigenous peoples for nature can be an example of how to deal with this global challenge. Now, please allow me to talk about some of the subjects we'll be dealing with in the next 2 weeks. In January this year, the Permanent Forum held an international expert group meeting on Indigenous Peoples' Development with Culture and Identity, Articles 3 and 32 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. The workshop was organized by the Secretariat of the Permanent Forum and was attended by several members, Indigenous experts from different regions in the world, as well as states, United Nations entities, and Indigenous peoples' organizations and NGOs. The expert group adopted by consensus different conclusions and recommendations that are a very important part of the input for discussions this session. The report of this workshop is available as part of the documents for this session. I should also mention that one of the objectives of the second decade of the world's indigenous peoples is to redefine development, starting from a vision of equity and in a culturally appropriate way, development with identity. There are a number of conventions and other UN instruments that focus on human rights directly related to development. For example, Convention number 169 of the International Labour Organization has established the right of indigenous peoples to decide their own priorities for the process of development because this affects their lives, beliefs, institutions, and spiritual well-being, as well as the ability to exercise control as far as possible over their own economic, social, and cultural development. The UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples guarantees the full and effective participation in development processes, including consultation in the establishment of development programs and policies. It is hoped that this session will demonstrate that development with culture and identity is not only beneficial for indigenous peoples, but for all peoples confronted by globalization and the economic crisis. Let me turn quickly to some of the highlights of this session. Under the Human Rights Agenda item, the forum will hold a dialogue with the governments of Bolivia and Paraguay with the participation of indigenous peoples and United Nations country teams on the follow-up of the permanent forum's visit last year to examine the situation of indigenous peoples, Guarani indigenous peoples living in the Chaco region. The visit and discussion is a path-breaking precedent which may open the door to similar dialogues in the future. Once again, there will be an active dialogue with Professor James Anaya, Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms of Indigenous Peoples, and also with Jani Lasimbang, who is the current chair of the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. In keeping with the work to strengthen cooperation with UN agencies, the forum will hold a dialogue with the Secretariat of the Convention on Biological Diversity. I hope that the representatives of indigenous peoples will also participate in this dialogue because, as we know, the CBD does important work with our peoples. This year, the Permanent Forum will hold a half-day discussion on the North American region, including Canada and the USA. This discussion will provide a better understanding on how to address the challenges in this region. Next week, the Forum will also hold a half-day discussion on Indigenous peoples and forests. This topic is closely related to Articles 3 and 32 of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples because forest policies do affect the rights of indigenous peoples and their communities. These are just some of the highlights that will be covered during this session. We have a very rich agenda full of activities, including many side and cultural events that will include, among others, the presentation of the movie Avatar by its director, James Cameron. Finally, I would like to reiterate my gratitude to my co-members of the Permanent Forum for their hard work over the past year and for becoming involved in national, regional, and international processes to facilitate the implementation of the Permanent Forum's recommendations and to raise the awareness of issues important for Indigenous peoples. You have all been great colleagues, and that means we have been able to carry out our mandate effectively. I would also like to thank our Secretariat, which has been working tirelessly, not only to prepare for this session, but it has kept the fire burning between sessions. I would also like to thank the representatives of Indigenous Peoples organizations and nations, governments, members of the Interagency Support Group on Indigenous Peoples issues, and the support of NGOs who have done their part in helping implement the Permanent Forum's recommendations, as well as the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Finally, I would like to pay tribute to the Indigenous peoples of the world who continue to work for their rights, sometimes sacrificing their own lives in this struggle, especially to those who are no longer with us, but whose inheritance has given us places in common. Let's work to make this session meaningful and worthwhile for all Indigenous peoples. Thank you. I would now propose to members of the Permanent Forum that we approve the provisional agenda for the ninth session. This is in document A/19/2010-1. Would anyone like to make any comments on the agenda? Then may I take it that the agenda has been approved? Yes. And now we can go on to elect other members of the Bureau for this session. Following consultations, the following members are proposed as Mr. Hassam Al-Hassam, Mr. Bartolome Clavero, Salvador, Mr. Michael Dawson, and Tony Gonella Fritschner, and Madame Paimene will be the rapporteur. May I take it that members of the forum wish to elect the candidates proposed by acclamation for vice chair and rapporteur? It is approved. I would now like to congratulate people on being elected as vice chairs and to Ms. Pimene as rapporteur. I would now like to invite the rapporteur to take her place up here.
It's low.
Just give her the opportunity. Give her the opportunity to take the seat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's coming.
Tell him that.
He already mentioned that.
Yeah. So, but she should not proceed. Okay. She should wait till she takes the seat.
You have to wait until she takes the seat.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
you.
Shall he proceed?
I will give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Hamidon Ali, President. Excuse me. I'll now give the floor to Mr. Xiaozu Kang, USG of Economic and Social Affairs. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished representatives of member states, indigenous peoples, organizations, and non-governmental organizations, distinguished representative of the United Nations system and other intergovernmental organizations, Mr. Ahmad Djoglaf, Executive Secretary of the Secretariat of the Convention on Biological Diversity, my friend, and distinguished elders, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you all to the ninth session of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. We meet at a time when the United Nations, Indigenous peoples, and the member states have achieved extraordinary progress. These include the establishment of the Permanent Forum itself, the 2007 adoption of a UN Declaration on the Rights of the Indigenous Peoples, the establishment of a special rapporteur role which focuses on human rights abuses, and the creation of the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous Peoples. I welcome the ever-growing engagement of member states in the Permanent Forum. This year, 15 member states have submitted voluntary reports on indigenous issues to the forum, a record number. In recent years, the forum has influenced the agenda of other organizations, United Nations agencies, international financial institutions, and other organizations have developed guidelines, policies, and safeguards that recognize and support the needs of indigenous peoples. This ripple effect across organizations is testament to the ability of the forum to change awareness levels and prompt actions on indigenous issues. The United Nations has brought global attention to these issues through two international decades on the world's indigenous peoples. The resulting commemorations and the public information activities have increased awareness levels and educated millions of people. We are reaching the midway point of the second decade. We will mark that milestone with a midterm report by the Secretary General that evaluates the progress made towards achieving the civil, economic, cultural, political, and social rights of indigenous peoples. Ladies and gentlemen, in spite of these remarkable advances, we must recognize that the situations of indigenous peoples in many parts of the world are critical. They continue to suffer from prejudice and marginalization, and they are subject to disproportionate and extreme poverty. Moreover, we have seen that some development efforts have damaged rather than improved their well-being. In many cases, their land rights, traditional sources of knowledge, and cultural priorities have not even been recognized, much less respected and incorporated into development plans. For this reason, the forum will focus this year on how the culture and identity of indigenous peoples can be integrated into development agendas and practices. Distinguished representatives, it is not only indigenous peoples but society at large that loses out when development approaches ignore values, customs, and ancient practices. Indigenous peoples have a great deal to reteach us. Their natural resource management system, for example, are ecologically sustainable. Their lifestyles and habits result in low-carbon economies. We can learn from these techniques and bring them to the attention of environmental specialists and to the general population. Indeed, as we face a lingering global economic crisis, which has exacerbated the effects of climate change, it is crucial that we consider alternative ways of preserving our environment. During this session, I urge you to thoroughly investigate the ways in which other visions and perspectives of indigenous peoples can become central to international, regional, national, and local development agendas. How can agricultural technology work with ancient farming practices? How can governments and health organizations expand services to indigenous peoples and respect their spiritual practices at the same time? In your discussions of these topics, please also focus on how the voices of women and youth can be incorporated in meaningful ways. their inclusion will benefit not only their societies, but the larger societies that surround them. Article 3 and 32 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples should inform your work. Article 3 states their right to self-determine their political status and their pursuit of economic, social, culture development. Article 32 states their right to self-determine how their lands, water, minerals, and other resources will be used. How can these articles be used to inspire and empower indigenous peoples? How can they help protect the cultures and traditions of people with a long history of discrimination and oppression? Your guidance, expertise, and collaboration are needed in answering these questions. May I remind you to work with an awareness of internationally agreed development goals, especially the Millennium Development Goals. They should form the backdrop of your consultations and your recommendations. As you know, there will be a summit on the MDGs in September of this year, and so your input at this time is critical. Before concluding, allow me to say a few words on the process of Permanent Forum. I wish to commend its new methodology of holding in-depth dialogue with UN agencies. This year's dialogue will engage the Secretariat of the Convention on Biological Diversity. It will provide forum members and observers the opportunity to learn more about its work with indigenous peoples and how it can be further strengthened. The forum will also hold dialogues with the governments of Bolivia and Paraguay about the conditions faced by indigenous peoples of Chaco region. These dialogues mark the forum's first in-depth discussions with member states based on voluntary reports from them. I hope these talks will be productive and prove useful for future sessions. I would also like to thank the government of Plurinational State of Bolivia for hosting the pre-sessional meeting of the Permanent Forum last month. We are very grateful for your support. Many thanks also to the member states who have made contribution to the trust fund of the Permanent Forum in 2009. Algeria, Bolivia, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Cyprus, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, Madagascar, Mexico, and Norway. Mr. Chairman, distinguished members of Forum, ladies and gentlemen, the work of the Permanent Forum is invaluable. It brings together on the global stage all the key players that can effect change for indigenous peoples. Indigenous representatives themselves, member states, the United Nations system, other intergovernmental organizations, non-governmental organizations. The forum gives voices to people who in many cases would be otherwise voiceless. May you maximize this ninth session by sharing best practices and strategize on new alternative development models that not only protect but incorporate the knowledge and wisdom of indigenous cultures. I wish you every success at this year's session of the Permanent Forum, and I thank you in advance for your hard work and dedication in the coming weeks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Agradezco.
Thank you for the kind words of USG Xia Zhukang, and we'll now take 2 minutes for Chief Sid Hill to leave temporarily.
Right here.
Okay.
You think Mr. Shah Zhukang? Mm-hmm. Huh?
agradece de nuevo la declaración y ahora das la palabra. Who is the executive secretary?
Agradeciendo nuevamente la declaración.
Once again, I'd like to thank USG Xia Zhukang, and I will now give the floor to His Excellency, the Executive Secretary of the Secretariat on the Convention on Biodiversity, Mr. Ahmed Djoghlaf. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and let me congratulate you upon your well-deserved election of this important meeting, and through you, the government of Bolivia, for having taken the initiative, as you reminded us, of declaring the 22nd of April the International Mother Earth Day, which we will all be celebrating for the first time this week. 22nd of May is also the International Day on Biodiversity, and the 22nd of April, celebration of the International Mother Earth, is a unique opportunity to celebrate nature and to celebrate the relation between nature and culture. The work of your forum is at the core of the activities of the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity. It is at the core of its three objectives: conservation, sustainable use, and access and benefit sharing. The United Nations Declaration on the Right of Indigenous People is also at the core of its activities, and including, of course, Article 3 and 32. We have our forum dealing with the biodiversity and the need to protect the knowledge and the tradition and the know-how of indigenous people, and its Article 8J committee, meeting every year, and the last meeting in November with more than 600 participants was a landmark meeting, and the multi-year program of work has been adopted, focusing on the custodiary approach to sustainable use of biodiversity. We have our secretariat, led by Mr. John Scott here, an indigenous person, your representative in the UN system. We have also our financial mechanism, a voluntary contribution thanks to the donor to assist and contribute to the participation of indigenous people to our meetings. And the last contribution was a meeting held in Cali, thanks to Spain, in order to allow the indigenous people to voice their concern and their position on a key legal instrument which will be adopted in Nagoya, the International Protocol on Access and Benefit Sharing, where I think will be a tremendous contribution to the implementation of the objective of your declaration and the mandate of your committee, and including Article 3 and 32. The philosopher, French philosopher Michel Serres said, and I quote, regarding the relation between nature and culture and the cultural diversity and biological diversity, that they are the basis of an oral contract of mutual obligation, the breaking of which has their consequences for all of humanity. And I think this is what is at stake today. On the 10th of May, the Secretariat will be issuing the Global Biodiversity Outlook, the State of Biodiversity in 2010. It is based on 120 national reports received by government. And we expect, thanks to the contribution of Japan, that the 193 parties will submit their national report on biodiversity in 2010. And the report demonstrates that we are losing biodiversity at unprecedented rate. And today, rate of extension is 1,000 times higher than the natural rate of extension. And this has consequences for each and every individual unhurt, each and every citizen. But those who will suffer the most are the poor. Those who will suffer the most are the most vulnerable segment of the society, including, of course, indigenous and local communities. It is for this reason that the General Assembly has declared 2010 as the International Year on Biodiversity. So your meeting today is coinciding with the celebration of the International Year on Biodiversity with the view of establishing a global partnership, a global alliance for protecting life on Earth. And this alliance cannot be established without the custodian of the knowledge and the owner of the land, the indigenous and local communities. The International Year on Biodiversity will coincide for the first time in the history of this building and the history of the UN by a heads of state meeting on 22nd of September, exclusively devoted to biodiversity. The heads of state meeting will provide a unique opportunity to the leader of the world, the 192 member states, at the level of heads of states of government, to shape what we call the post-2010 biodiversity strategy, which will include a 2050 biodiversity vision, a 2020 biodiversity target with sub-target, but also means of implementation and monitoring and evaluation, a new strategic plan for 2011-2020, which will be adopted in Nagoya, Aichi Prefecture, Japan, at the Nagoya Biodiversity Summit in October this year. This new strategy will have at its heart the relationship between culture and nature. All the government attending the meeting and parties to the convention, and hoping that by that time we'll be 195 with the United States of America and Andorra joining us, will be requested to implement this new strategic plan into national strategies and action plan between 2011 and 2012, before Rio plus 20 and before the COP11, which will take place in New Delhi in October 2012, in order to translate at national level this new vision. And of course, culture and nature will be at the heart of the processes, and I am very pleased to announce that on the 9th and 10th of June this year in Montreal, at the occasion of the World Economic Forum of Montreal, there will be an international conference on culture and nature, organized by the Secretariat in collaboration with UNESCO and the host government, with a view of establishing a work program on cultural diversity and biological diversity, which will be submitted jointly by UNESCO and CBD to the 10,000 participants who will attend the Nagoya Biodiversity Summit. And the Nagoya Biodiversity Summit slogan is living in harmony with nature into the future. So with this, I look forward to our strengthened collaboration, the forum that we'll be having tomorrow with the leadership of Mr. John Scott will offer us a unique opportunity to work together in our common journey to Nagoya and the adoption of the new strategic plan, but most importantly, to work together for its implementation. I wish you a very successful meeting.
Agradezco al...
Thank you to the Executive Secretary for his statement. And now we have a special guest, and so I'll give the floor to Mr. Hamidou Ali, President of the Economic and Social Council. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, excellencies and other distinguished representatives of member states, distinguished Indigenous elders and distinguished representative of UN agencies and other intergovernmental organizations, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure, and it is indeed an honor to address the 9th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I wish to convey the support of ECOSOC in the efforts made by the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues in providing expert advice and recommendations to the Council. I would especially like to highlight the importance of the efforts made by the Permanent Forum in raising awareness and providing expert advice to United Nations programs, funds and agencies to further improve the livelihoods of Indigenous people. The mutual support between ECOSOC and the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is also important in relation to the coordination function of the Council regarding the work conducted with UN agencies and specialised bodies. In this regard, I would like to take this opportunity to highlight the forthcoming annual ministerial review of the Council, where the theme will be implementing the internationally agreed goals and commitments in regard to gender equality and the empowerment of women. Given the importance that the Permanent Forum has placed on Indigenous women and the excellent work it has done in the past regarding Indigenous women's issues, I would like to forward to the Forum contributing to this year's session. I know that the theme of the third session of the Permanent Forum was Indigenous Women, and that the Forum has since then made some excellent recommendations that address some of the challenges and the challenges that Indigenous women face. Mr. Chairperson and distinguished members of the Forum, the first avenue by which non-governmental organizations took a role in formal UN deliberations was through the Economic and Social Council, the ECOSOC. 41 NGOs were granted consultative status by the Council in 1946. By 1992, more than 700 NGOs have attained consultative status, and the number has been steadily increasing ever since to 3,187 organizations today. There is no doubt that the sessions of the Permanent Forum are especially conducive to strengthen relations between member states, the UN system, and Indigenous people organizations from all over the world. The Permanent Forum sessions are among the most attended events by civil society in the UN system, and I am encouraged to see such a well-attended meeting here today. As you all know, the Economic and Social Council will decide at the end of the month on the membership of the Permanent Forum for the term 2011 to 2013. As President of the Council, I take this task very seriously, and I look forward to the announcement of the result next week. This year's theme of Indigenous peoples' development with culture and identity is highly relevant and timely. It is an important theme not only for Indigenous peoples, but also for member states, and in particular for developing countries in the face of globalization. I look forward to following the deliberations and in reading the Forum's report. To conclude, Mr. Chairperson, I would like to convey my sincere wishes for a successful 8th session of the Permanent Forum and extend my hope for the active participation of all participating member states, Indigenous peoples, organizations, and UN system partners and other intergovernmental organizations. I thank you.
Agradezco al señor.
I'd like to thank the President of the Economic and Social Council for his statement. And the last speaker on my list for this segment is the Honourable Dr. Peter Sharples, Minister of Maori Affairs of New Zealand. You have the floor.
Heke, heke, omahara, heke, 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 omahara, heke, 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 Ka haereo nei ki te piki tau mataka anoa wi te toi āuru, i te pā hore hore roto ngā ti kahungunu, ti hei wa Māori ora. E ngā mana whenua, e te iwi onongaga. Nā koutou ngā karakia i tuku ki te wāhi ngaro, kia poiai tātou tēnā koutou. E ngā mate o tēnā iwi o tēnā iwi, haere ki te okiko ki ngā tūturu mo te tangata. E te whare o ngā iwi o te ao karangamai ki tēnei wāwaitapu mai Aotearoa ni. E te hunga ora, e ngā māngai o ngā iwi taketake o te ao, tēnā koutou. Kai te mihi au ki o koutou maunga, ki o koutou awa, ki o koutou whenua, i take amai ai o koutou tīpuna. Tainoa mai ki a koutou e huihui mai i tēnira. I hara mai au me te ngākau māhaki, ki te whakanui, ki te whakapūtanga o ngā mana o ngā iwi taketake o te ao. Kua loa te kāwanatanga o Aotearoa, e whiriwhiri ana i tēnei take, ka tahino ka tau te whakaaro me tautoko. Nā reira, kai te mihi atu, ki ngā rangatira, ki ngā iwi, ki ngā rōpū, i oti ai a koutou, tēnei kaupapa o te whakapūtanga. Hei whakai mā ngā kāwanatanga o te ao. To the inherent powers of this land, the Onondaga people who have offered spiritual acknowledgement to the unseen world to bless us, greetings to you. To the spirits of the deceased of each and every nation, we farewell you to the ultimate resting place of humankind. To this house of the peoples of the world, I come humbly to you from New Zealand. To the living representatives of the indigenous people of the world, I salute you. I greet your mountains, your rivers, your lands, places where your ancestors originated, including you, who are meeting here today. I come with humble heart to celebrate the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. The New Zealand government has long discussed this matter and has recently decided to support it. So I salute the leaders and chiefs, the many peoples and groups who established the foundation of the declaration for assent by the governments of the world. Hei te tini, hei te mano, tēnā koutou katoa. In September 2007, the United Nations, 143 countries, voted in favour of the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. New Zealand was one of the four countries that voted against the Declaration. Today, New Zealand changes its position. We are pleased to express our support for the Declaration. In keeping with our strong commitment to human rights, and Indigenous rights in particular, New Zealand now adds its support to the Declaration both as an affirmation of fundamental rights and in its expression of new and widely supported aspirations. Māori hold a distinct and special status as the indigenous people, or tangata whenua, of New Zealand. Indigenous rights and indigenous culture are of profound importance to New Zealand and fundamental to our identity as a nation. A unique feature of our constitutional arrangements is the Treaty of Waitangi, signed by representatives of the Crown and Māori in 1840. It is a founding document of New Zealand and marks the beginning of our rich cultural heritage together. The treaty establishes a foundation of partnership, mutual respect, cooperation, and good faith between Māori and the Crown. It holds great importance in our laws, our constitutional arrangements, and the work of successive governments. The Declaration contains principles that are consistent with the duties and principles inherent in the treaty, such as operating in the spirit of partnership and mutual respect. We affirm this objective and affirm the government's commitment to build and maintain constructive relationships with Māori to achieve better results for Māori, which will benefit New Zealand as a whole. The Declaration is an historic achievement, the result of many years of discussions, 22 in fact, and of hard work and perseverance by many people. Many of you are here. I acknowledge the long involvement of Māori in the elaboration of the Declaration and the extent of their investment in its development. The Declaration acknowledges the distinctive and important status of Indigenous peoples, their common historical experiences, and the universal spirit that underpins its text. The Declaration is an affirmation of accepted international human rights and also expresses new and non-binding aspirations. In moving to support the Declaration, New Zealand both affirms those rights and reaffirms the legal and constitutional frameworks that underpin New Zealand's legal system. Those existing frameworks, while they will continue to evolve in accordance with New Zealand's domestic circumstances, define the bounds of New Zealand's engagement with the aspirational elements of the Declaration. In particular, where the Declaration sets out aspirations for rights to and restitution of traditionally held land and resources, New Zealand has, through its well-established process for resolving treaty claims, developed its own distinct approach. That approach respects the important relationship Māori, as tangata whenua, have with their lands and resources, both currently and historically, and the complementary principles of rangatiratanga and kaitiakitanga that will underpin that relationship. It also maintains and will continue to maintain the existing legal regimes for the ownership and management of land and natural resources. New Zealand acknowledges and understands the historic injustices suffered by Māori in relation to our land and resources and is committed to addressing these through the established treaty settlement process. Many groups, many Māori groups, have already benefited from the transfer of considerable land, forest, and fisheries assets through negotiated treaty settlements. Many more are in the process of negotiations with the government towards settling their claims. These settlements contribute to the re-establishment of an economic base as a platform for future development. Redress offered in the treaty settlements is, however, constrained by the need to be fair to everyone and by what the country as a whole can afford to pay. Further, where the Declaration sets out principles for Indigenous involvement in decision-making, New Zealand has developed and will continue to rely on its own distinct processes and institutions that afford opportunities to Māori for such involvement. These range from broad guarantees of participation and consultation to particular instances in which a requirement of consent is appropriate. In those processes and institutions, we acknowledge that our ongoing national dialogue is grounded in the Treaty of Waitangi. We further recognise that Māori have an interest in all policy and legislative matters and acknowledge the determination of Māori that custom, worldviews and cultural heritage should be reflected in the laws and policies of New Zealand. Māori have been and continue to be active in developing innovative responses to issues with a strong Indigenous perspective and engaging with successive governments on possible paths forward. We will continue that conversation within the relationship that the Treaty and New Zealand's Constitution as a whole affords. Further, we will continue to work in international fora to promote the human rights of Indigenous peoples. New Zealand acknowledges the ongoing process of dialogue and debate over the meanings that may be given to the aspirations put forward by the Declaration. New Zealand's support for the Declaration represents an opportunity to acknowledge and restate the special cultural and historical position of Māori as the original inhabitants, the tangata whenua of New Zealand. It reflects our continuing endeavours to work together to find solutions and underlines the importance of the relationship between Māori and the Crown under the Treaty of Waitangi. Its affirmation of long-standing rights supports and safeguards that ongoing relationship, and its proclamation of new aspirations gives us all encouragement and aspirations for the future. Nā reira koutou mā e huihui mai ni tēnei rangi. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Kia ora.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, you remember me. Of course. Thank you for being with us at this very special
meeting.
Give it down a little bit, just a little bit.
This?
Yeah, a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's not
okay.
It's not okay.
See?
Yeah, yeah. We're continuing with the meeting.
Vamos a continuar con el. Puedes decir, vamos a continuar con
yeah.
el.
Organización. Hermanos.
Brothers and sisters.
Agradecemos.
We'd like to thank Minister Sharples for his announcement and for his statement. And I think it's great encouragement for those countries who have not yet adopted the convention. I would like to thank the government of New Zealand and, of course, the Maori people. We are now going to continue with the organization of our work for the 2 weeks of this session. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers and friends, I'm now going to speak about some of the organizational arrangements for this session. Your attention, please. First of all, I would like to draw your attention to the proposed organization of work as contained in document E/C19/2010/L1. This document was prepared by the Secretariat in consultation with members of the Permanent Forum. It is a reference guide for the agenda and work program for this session. It contains a detailed description of our program of work on a day-to-day basis for the whole session. I am very pleased that, as in previous years, this session of the forum has drawn a large number of representatives from Indigenous peoples' communities. Given the large number of participants, I do hope to have full cooperation from all of you so that members of the forum can hear the views of all the participants and therefore make appropriate recommendations to the Economic and Social Council. At this time, I would like to remind you of the following points in regard to our work during the ninth session. On the issue of the list of speakers, we shall follow the practice established in the forum at previous sessions. I would encourage participants to submit all requests to make a statement or to take the floor on each item to the Secretariat. Since we have limited time for each substantive item to accommodate all those participants who wish to make statements, I shall impose a time limit for the observers of the session according to the number of speakers on my list. The speakers should make shorter statements and provide the Secretariat with hard copies of the longer versions of their statements if they so wish, so that those statements can subsequently be included on the website. I would also like to appeal to participants from Indigenous peoples' organizations to coordinate themselves in order to make consolidated group statements on the items under consideration. By group statements, I mean groups of organizations present at this session. As we did at the previous session, I shall give priority to caucus statements and collective statements by groups of organizations present here. As a matter of courtesy, I appeal to the participants to kindly keep all consultations outside the conference room in order not to disrupt the meeting. I would also briefly like to advise you that no food or drink is allowed in the United Nations conference rooms. Similarly, no photography or use of visual recording equipment is allowed in the conference rooms when a meeting is in progress, unless accompanied by a protocol officer. Please follow the established guidelines as directed by the conference officers. Thank you. We will now give the floor to the Secretariat for some announcements on our work.
I just was asked to make an announcement that today's event organized by the World Bank has been postponed until Tuesday, 27th April. So there will be no World Bank side event today. Thank you very much.
We have reached the time limit for this meeting, unless any member wishes to take the floor. In that case, I intend to adjourn the meeting. This afternoon, we shall begin our discussion on item 3 of the provisional agenda. The meeting will take place in the same conference room, the General Assembly Hall. The meeting is adjourned.